There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Wednesday. Glad to have you all along. Live local talk over the hour. And we are live from the 27th annual open house for Robertsdale Power Equipment. It's going on today. It's going on tomorrow. And plenty of great deals. And while you're here, too, stop by and grab lunch. Lunch going on until 2 o'clock. I had the hamburger, but the hot dogs looked really good as well. They got chips. They've got door prizes going on. And they have the best deals of the year on the power equipment you're looking for right here at Robertsdale Power Equipment. So love for you to stop by today, and they're open till 5, but if you can't, come by tomorrow and get some more of these great deals. All right, and we're talking about some of the premier items, the focused items today at the open house. And it's funny because last hour we're talking about Skag mowers, and last year bought a Skag mower from here at Robertsdale Power Equipment. I'm a big fan of it. And steel equipment has been part of my life for even longer than that. And it's this is the place I get it, right here behind us at Robertsdale Power Equipment. Doug Hollis from Steel is in the mobile command unit to talk more about it. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Sean.
Good to be with you as well. And we'll get in. You and I were in a conversation before we even started about this battery-powered stuff, I think. Yeah. I've got my questions about that. I'm going to ask you here in a second, but let's talk about some of the power equipment. You know, one of the things that made such a difference for me with Steel is the combi system.
Absolutely. Combi system
that's been
is
huge.
Great.
It is. You know, and it's, you know, I have a limited amount of space in the garage at the house, and it really made a big difference. For a while, I had some things in combi and some things from other manufacturers I kept holding. Those have all been disposed of, and now everything I have is combi tool.
All right, Sean, we appreciate the business. And one thing unique about our combi system is that our combi attachments will fit any of our power heads. Now, also unique is no other manufacturer's attachments will fit ours, and ours will not fit theirs. And, of course, one of the reasons we do that is we want to maintain the quality control, and that helps to be able to do that. With your combi unit, we've got 14 different attachments that you can use. So, you know, you can do anything from trim your weeds, trim your hedges, blow off the yard, edge the yard, you know, whatever you need to do. We've got sweepers, we got brushes, so we got variable things that will make your life a little bit easier with a combi unit.
There's 14.
14.
I thought I was. I'm about 7 right now.
You got 7 more to go. So let's get on.
Well, and one thing I like is so working on rental houses I have, or going to help my parents or something. I drive a Toyota Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, small. I got the short bed and the whole nine. Don't give me grief about it because it's my smallest truck yet. But I have that truck. I can put that power head in, and then all the attachments I need, and not have stuff hanging out of the camper shell. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's a real nice, it's a real nice thing.
Convenient, compact, and that way you're able to keep your stuff and not somebody else.
So
that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Let's talk about what else in steel you want people, like when they come in today, if you were standing there with them, Doug, what would you say? You need to look at this.
You know, Sean, one of the things that we're seeing change dramatically and quickly, a lot of outdoor power equipment for so many years has been gas. Now we're getting into the battery-powered equipment. Of course, we started in battery-powered with our commercial equipment in 2009, so this is something that's not new to us. But yet now we have not only for that commercial guy, but we got for the homeowner and, say, the couple that's got a little patio home. We've also got something for them starting at $129.95. So we cover the spectrum. You know, whether you're a homeowner or whether you're a commercial guy, we can take care of you in the battery-powered product as well.
All right, so let me educate me. So what is the key here? I mean, obviously the equipment is still steel equipment. the battery? I mean, that must be where all the technology race must be.
It changes almost daily. The one thing that we do with our commercial grade, and also we have what we call an AK series, which is middle of the road type.
Okay.
For most of your homeowners, all of those are 36 volts. The unique thing about our battery system, any AK product, you can interchange the batteries.
That was what I was about to ask you, Doug.
Yep. And then, of course, with the AP product, which is our commercial product, so people know what we're talking about, those batteries are interchangeable across the line. So, you know, just because you buy this unit, it comes with, say, one battery, and you buy another unit in the AP series, all of those batteries will interchange with those units. So once you buy one unit, the battery and the charger, you know, unless you just want to buy an extra battery, which most people do, then you can use those batteries. They're interchangeable with any AP series unit that we have.
But you're doing kind of similar with Combi. You're reducing the footprint in our garage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And talking about Combis, we also now have in our AP commercial unit a Combi battery unit. So we can take care of you there.
See, it's temptation here. It's what Doug's doing. You know, on the battery thing, the worry for me, and I'm a fan of y'all's gasoline-powered products, but I always worry that it's not going to have the power.
Sean, the unique thing is with not only the battery technology, but the brushless motor technology that we have today, the power's there, the torque's there, so you're not losing anything, you're gaining. And what I tell people, when you buy your battery, you're buying your gas. That's the fuel for your system.
Right.
And no more clogged-up carburetors.
No, I love that idea. I just worry, you know, say I'm edging or I'm weed-eating. Mm-hmm. Is the power at the head weed-eating is going to be comparable to what I'm used to with my gas-powered Combi?
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
So maybe if I let the weeds get a little too big, it still is going to cut them?
You can still go.
What kind of, and I know it's all probably situationally specific for temperature and all that stuff, but what kind of life, let's say I'm weed eating. Mm-hmm. How long, if I'm weed eating at a normal pace, how long am I getting out of a battery?
Okay, and again, that's going to depend on which battery you do go with. Okay. Even though they're all 36 volts, what you want to look at really with batteries is the watt hours. Okay. And the higher the watt hour, the longer the runtime. So let's just say you took our premium AP300S battery for the AP commercial grade unit. You know, for most of those units, you're going to run a minimum of about 30 minutes. That will be, okay, safe for the blower, because right, that demands more power. But for a hedge trimmer, you could run up to about 6 hours on that, on one charge.
Wow. And so the idea, you did mention having two batteries. I'm picturing myself, have one's on the charger, running one, and I can swap it out and put the other
Correct.
One on the charger. What kind of, is this something that I need 2 days to recharge, or what am I looking at?
Oh, no. Most of the time, say an AP300S with our AL500 charger, you're going to be able to recharge that in a minimum of about 35 to 45 minutes.
Less than an hour?
Less than an hour.
Okay. I still don't know if I'm going to let go of the gas-powered stuff, but that has gotten my attention.
It will do that, that's for sure.
And, you know, people use it for convenience and knowing that it's just going to, they're going to plug it in, it's going to go, it's going to run, and now that you say the fears of not having the power aren't there, that you don't have that issue, then some people actually are going to be compelled because of neighborhood rules and things like, it's not everywhere down here, but I know to other parts of the country it is, and it's probably coming to a neighborhood near us soon, that you got to have quiet equipment.
Unfortunately, that is the case. I'm like you, Sean. You know, I don't like those restrictions, but that's what's happening.
I mean, it's
today.
The sound of Saturday morning.
It is.
To fire up my equipment. That is, I know my
and
neighbors
wake up
are
up. Your neighbor.
When I hear my other neighbor up the street, I know he's up and
yes.
we're all getting to work.
Yes.
But I guess now I won't have that audio cue that he's up. But there's not going to be any less of this going forward. There'll just be more of those restrictions.
More and more. And then, of course, again, the battery technology is improving and just getting better day by day. So as we move forward with that, we're seeing a greater increase in the sales of battery products. Gas products is going to stay stable. It's not going away. But, you know, the good thing is it's just like Ford, Chevy, Dodge. There's something for everybody.
That's for sure. And they can check it out today at Robert Steele Power Equipment?
Absolutely. Right here today.
All right. Good deal. Doug, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. Good deal. Coming right back, State Senator Cam Ward joins us. He's also a candidate for Alabama Supreme Court. He's been working since back in the Governor Bentley days on the prison reform for Alabama. He'll give us an update when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. We are live in Robertsdale at Robertsdale Power Equipment for their 27th annual open house. Skag Equipment, Steel Equipment, Husqvarna Equipment, and so much more when you stop by Robertsdale Power Equipment. Plus the parts. You need parts, they got them right here. They've got people who can put the parts in. If you know what you're doing, they got the parts for you. And they get great deals on those as well. And when you stop by today or tomorrow, Robertsdale Power Equipment, first of all, they're going to feed you. Got hamburgers, got hot dogs, got chips, got all that good stuff, and have got 20% off all parts today and tomorrow, plus sale prices on all equipment in stock. They're running a door prizes as you come in and out, and it's a good time. And if you want to see what's new, they got the reps. Like, you know, we talked to the people from Skag, we talked to the people from Steel. They're here. You got a question like this battery powered stuff, right? Kind of a little bit interested in it. Still raise an eyebrow. I'm not sure if I'm all in, but they can definitely walk you through it, and you can check it out right here. Robertsdale Power Equipment, 27th annual open house. All right, a bunch of stuff. Hey, by the way, before we wrap up today, before 2 o'clock and the Paul Feinbaum show comes on, we will give you a shot at Win 'Em Before You Can Buy 'Em tickets for Def Leppard and ZZ Top for their 2020 Vision Tour. That's coming to the Wharf September 28th. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com, Wharf box office, but you got a shot at winning them sometime between now and 2 o'clock. Another thing we're looking at, and hopefully it looks like, knock on, is there wood here? Yeah, there's some wood in the mobile command unit. Knock on wood, we'll have an interview Friday with a representative from the Mobile Area Chapter of the Boy Scouts of America, because it's something that, you know, has made the news, and TV's reporting on the bankruptcy for BSA, for Boy Scouts filing Chapter 11 bankruptcy. That is the national. And, of course, I have my questions. I've been involved in scouting since I was young. I have a son involved in scouting now, so I'm back in involved with scouting. It's a big thing to myself. It's a big thing to my son. We're a scouting family, so this is, first of all, primary interest. It's self-serving, but I know I'm not the only one around here watching what's happening with the Boy Scouts. And the question is, you know, what is the effect of this national announcement? What does this mean for your local, for your troop, right? What does this mean for, will you have events coming up this spring? What if you were going to Camp Mobilla this summer? These are questions a lot of us have. Well, I got a note here. It said, today, this came out this morning, and I've gotten several emails from the Mobile Area Council. It said, today, the national organization, the Boy Scouts of America, filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy to achieve two key objectives: equitably compensate victims who were harmed during their time in scouting and continue to carry out scouting's mission for years to come. It says here, the Mobile Area Council has not filed for bankruptcy. Our council is legally separate, distinct, and financially independent from the national organization. Okay, now this is important, because a lot of us thought, you know, what happens to the national goes the whole way down. It goes on to say, scouting programs will continue. This means that unit meetings and activities, district and council events, other scouting adventures, and countless service projects will take place as usual. In short, we expect no changes to local scouting experience in the Mobile area. And it's a question a lot of people had. So how does this affect right now? What I'm getting from the Mobile Area Council is it does not affect the local scouting. It also said restricted donations, past, present, or future, can only be used for their designated purpose. In addition, Friends of Scouting and their annual donations made to our council will continue to fund necessary day-to-day expenses that are critical to local scouting programs. So if you've made donations, I know I have, and made them specifically to the Mobile Area Council, which I have, the way I'm understanding the emails from the council right now, your donations to the Mobile Area Council for the Boy Scouts, those donations are not going to the national office to pay off something or get involved in a bankruptcy. They stay with the local council. All right. So this is coming from William Bryant, who's the CEO of the Mobile Area Council for BSA. So he goes on to say here, through your engagement and dedication to scouting, the Mobile Area Council will continue to bring adventures, values, and lifelong benefits to youth and our communities for generations to come. Thank you for your trust and support, and continue on this important mission. So just an update there. Not worry about this, because, I mean, scouting, the trend for scouting has not been good. The trend has been down for scouting. Scouting is, you know, has been losing membership over time. It's worrisome. It is something that I don't think is helped by this national news at all. But hopefully, maybe locally, we can continue to at least hold what we have in scouting. I believe, you know, if I'm going to get on here and preach for a second, it's something that's missing in a lot of kids out there today. Now, I'm not saying what's right for your kids, what's wrong for your kids, and I know the world of athletics is so intense, although it's changed. I mean, when I was a kid, I played football, played golf for my high school, for my middle school and my high school, and still did scouting. Now, it seems like in today's world, you almost have to choose one or the other. I don't want to get myself in trouble with the crew from Prep Sports Report, but I think that means one's probably grown. Both are important. You learn lessons in both of them, and I think one is, I think the monster of high school and middle school athletics, a monster in a good way, it's grown so big that it's pushing out people. People are having to make decisions, you know, what they're going to do with their time, and often scouting is lost to that. And I think that's a loss for our whole community. But hopefully, coming up on Friday in the Friday show, I know we'll looks like we're going to talk to Representative Steve McMillan's going to join us, but also William Bryant from the Mobile Area Council. So you got questions and information you want to know about what's going on right now, hopefully he'll be on Friday on this show on Midday Mobile to answer those. Oh, and I saw an update here. Let's see here. Yeah, the medical marijuana bill. We mentioned this when we were talking to State Senator Chris Elliott last hour. The medical marijuana bill sails through committee as amended, as expected. It's heading to the Senate floor. It looks like tomorrow they'll be voting on this in the Senate. Sean Ross from Yellowhammer News says the House is a real hurdle, but the amendment process in the Senate is important. Now, do you remember last year? It was, and it's kind of strange, if you haven't paid attention to Montgomery for a long time, this may not stand out to you, but usually things move faster through the House of Representatives and slow down or are stopped or tweaked somehow when it hits the Senate. Well, last session and this session, it's been the opposite. Things have moved more quickly through the Senate and have gotten derailed to some degree in the House. We'll see if this happens, but that's one of the issues that may be in front of this Senator Melson's medical marijuana bill. It also may be what happens to any kind of lottery move this year. You have Steve Klaus's bill in the House, but you'll have a similar bill coming out of the Senate, and will they be able to come to grips on where the money goes? Although, like I said last hour, I believe if you built if you said the money for the lottery in Alabama was going to go to build let's make it taller, Dalton. I said 250 feet tall. A 350-foot tall statue of former Alabama governor Robert Bentley. That's where the money, it wasn't going to go to the general fund. It wasn't going to go to the ETF. It wasn't going to go to fund prison expansion and rebuilds and all those things we have to do. Nuh-uh-uh. The money was going to go to build the statue, a gilded statue of Robert Bentley, and you put it up for a constitutional amendment as a CA, Alabamians would vote yes. Just a theory. Also, when we come back, we'll maybe ask that question. We'll see if I have the gumption to ask that question. State Senator Cam Ward, we will talk about prison reform here in the state of Alabama and his run for the Alabama Supreme Court. It's all straight ahead right here on Midday Mobile. We are live at Robertsdale Power Equipment. Come see us.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Be checking in with State Senator Cam Ward, candidate for the Alabama Supreme Court, in just a second. I do want to talk to a man who has the information you need. Number one, if you miss Valentine's Day and you got to get a big gift, he's the guy you need to see. Also, if you want to get some cool collectibles or precious metal, it's Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, how's it going today?
it's good. Let's talk about what's happening at the shop. What's going on with Open L's? What's going on with precious metals? What's going on with jewelry? We lost Angelo.
Can you hear me now?
It's okay. I got you now, Angelo. All right, so let's go back to the beginning there. So what?
Man.
So what's going on at the shop?
Been a busy day. Gold and silver prices have been climbing again. I think a lot of it has to do with all the fears about the coronavirus. Gold is now over $1,600. Silver is over $18 an ounce and climbing. So we've got a lot of people looking at the gold and silver and worrying about that. We're actually, if somebody wants a great deal on silver bullion, we've got silver right now as low as 39 cents an ounce over spot.
Well, let's talk about somebody wanting to come in and get something special, get some engraving done. Y'all got time to do that right now?
Oh, we certainly do. Yeah, if you want to look at one of those 1 ounce silver engravables, we have a lot of different designs here in stock. We can get those engraved with that custom message for you there on the back. We also have, of course, a nice large selection of those Open L knives we talk about all the time. We keep expanding that every month.
All right, tell folks how to come find you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. Of course, you can check us out on the web at mobilebaycoins.com or go on to Facebook or Instagram and check us out there.
All right. Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, guys.
Hey, you too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And as I mentioned a second ago, checking in right now with State Senator Cam Ward, who is and also chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which I don't know. I think more news stories that I've seen, Senator, today out of Montgomery have had something to do with the Judiciary Committee. Y'all been busy.
Yeah, we always are. And thank you for having me back on again.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, and I know there's a lot to talk about, so I want to get right to it. And first of all, what's been going on here? We will get to, you know I'm calling you, so you know I'm going to ask some prison questions. But let's talk about some of those bills today that have been moving. I heard it had picked up a fevered pace in Montgomery in the Senate for sure today. So what was happening?
Today they had a debate on the medical marijuana bill, and what this bill does is it allows someone to, it's a highly regulated regimen where you can be prescribed by a doctor a particular tablet or a liquid drop form of CBD oil that has what they call THC in it, which is the part that kind of gives a little bit of euphoria, but for basically cases where you have seizures or chronic pain. That bill was debated from the Senate Judiciary this morning, and it was hotly debated, but it passed overwhelmingly out of committee to move on to the full Senate floor.
Now, you know, in talking about Senator Melson's bill here, and I know this was up last year, and then the call was, okay, well, we have to do this committee and look into it, so we've had this time to look into it. Senate, sounds like y'all did what you did last year and passed it out. Now it goes to the House, right? Well, first of all, it comes out of the committee, goes to the Senate vote. You feel good that you're not, if you had the votes last year there, do you think the votes will be there this year?
Oh, it just depends. Now, he had 7 amendments today, so there were a lot of changes, a lot of work, but the process worked the way it's supposed to. Everybody got a fair hearing on both sides. Everybody was involved in the debate. It's a tightly regulated bill, tightly regulated form of medical marijuana, so I think Senator Melson did a great job on it.
What about, was there a chilling effect when, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, the Attorney General Steve Marshall came out and basically from his position in the AG's office just gave, I don't know, a memo, an advisory, you know, for legislators before y'all started
Attorney
session?
General, and I think Attorney General Marshall, it does a great job. And, you know, I weighed in on that today. I think the law enforcement perspective has to always come first. I mean, public safety is first and foremost. I do think, however, his concern is does this open the door to future potential recreational marijuana, which I would be opposed to. But however, on the medical side, and as limited and restricted this bill is, I think it's a very fair bill, and it's so narrowly tailored. You know, John, my father passed away 2 years ago from cancer. He went through chemotherapy. I would have given anything for him to have a tablet or a couple drops of oil in his coffee in the morning. But he didn't go through the pain he went through. And I think there's a lot of other families out there that feel the same way.
Yeah, and I know one of the fears is abuse of medical marijuana. In other words, somebody gaming the system, right? Me coming in and going, oh, my knee hurts or whatever. I need some marijuana.
He has a very restricted system. He has an ID card. He has his limits on who can prescribe, how often they can prescribe, how long the prescription lasts for. It's a very tightly regulated deal. Now, Does that say that we don't need further changes to it? No, we may definitely need some more changes to it. But I think moving through the process, it's been a good conversation so far.
All right. One of the big things that, well, heck, I thought y'all were going to be in a special session for it, really, even after last session, and then there was going to be maybe a special session before this session, but it looks like none of that has happened. But this issue that you've been, there's a reason, y'all, that a state senator, District 14, up in Alabaster, not here in Mobile and Baldwin counties, has been on the radio with me for what now, Senator, 5 years or so, maybe more. We've been talking about prison reform.
Got to fix this problem, and I'll tell you why. We are think looking talking to the House and Senate leadership, talking to the governor, everybody involved. I think in the next few weeks you're gonna. First of all, next week you're gonna have a public hearing on nothing but prison. That's all we're gonna talk about. But then you're gonna see a full week of the legislative session here. Probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks will be nothing in the House and Senate but prison-related legislation. So I think you'll see a resolution to it, something that's going to satisfy DOJ, something that's going to maintain public safety. It's a balancing act, but I think we finally have all the players on the same page.
And maybe it's worth updating this because people hear prison reform, and this has got many spokes on this wheel, right? I mean, it's not all brick and mortar. It's not all mental health.
It's 10% construction. It's part reentry programs. It's part making sure people can get driver's license. It's part making sure we have adequate mental health and drug rehabilitation programs so people don't go to prison to begin with. So it's multifaceted.
Do you think on that 10%, that the building part of it, I know one of the discussions that come up, it maybe if that's too politically divisive to get any traction in the Senate or the House, that the governor's office would take that the executive branch could...
The governor's office would do it without us, Sean.
You do?
Yeah, I say this over and over. They could do it without us. You're going to have some form of construction because today, when you have a federal court that says you will provide these XYZ mental health services, even if we hire 200 mental health workers today to comply with the judge's order, we have nowhere to put them at. These facilities, there's nowhere for them to go work at. So, you know, outside of letting a lot of people out, which I think you and I would agree is a bad idea,
right.
I think you're going to have some sort of form of construction.
All right, and you've said this before, so people understand it, because it is when you first hear it, if you haven't looked into it, you're like, why the heck you gonna do? But you've said that the major issue here is staffing and corrections officers, and with new construction, what, the same amount of corrections officers can watch more inmates or something like that?
Yeah,
isn't that the deal? Isn't that
lot,
why?
Yeah, with new construction, what you can do is it's a lot safer for your law enforcement. These officers have to go in there and work in these conditions and facilities where you can't even, they're so old, you can't even have cameras. I want safer conditions for our law enforcement officers and at the same time comply with what the federal court's mandating we have to do.
And you talk about that. You feel like what's being talked about now will be enough to if it's not to completely satisfy DOJ, does it, and I guess I don't want to use it, well, I am going to use the term bias some time, but I don't mean that in a flippant way, that we're not going to, I'm worried about the receivership, obviously.
Yeah, no, I think personally we have to avoid receivership. Receivership's when they take over our system and they can release whoever they want to, or they can make us pay whatever they want us to. So we want to avoid that first and foremost. That's our number one goal. Two, again, public safety. You know, the worst thing we can ever have happen to us is if we had taken over, they can force us to raise massive taxes, and at the same time, they can force a lot of people to be released from prison. That's your main goal. I think by some of the things we're looking at now, we can avoid that if we're careful and smart about it.
Because, I mean, I hear optimism in your voice, and I'll just follow along behind you there, because if I was you, and you've been working on this since... What? Yeah, I mean, this has been 5 years or more, right? It's been 5 years.
Yeah, probably about seven. But yeah, you're right.
Then I wouldn't be as upbeat as you are right now. I would be, I wouldn't have your same.
You got to keep trudging forward. And I know a lot of people don't like talking about this, but my goal is to avoid the potential problems that can happen if we don't do something. So I don't see a choice. I don't see us having a choice of what we can do. I think we just have to do it in a smart way that public safety is always considered first and foremost.
All right. Speaking of public safety and issues facing our state, and That's one that I think so many people in Alabama are just shaking their heads with the number of law enforcement that have been killed on the job. And explain the bill here that would expedite death penalty for murderers that kill police officers. What is the bill? How would it work?
So we have a record number of police officers that have been murdered in Alabama just last year alone. It's the largest we've had in 1 year, and since we've been keeping track of it. And what the bill basically says is, you're going to get your appeal just like you're entitled to under the Constitution, but the notion that you're going to sit there for 20 years while we let political correctness work its way through, and the death of these officers goes that there's no justice, is wrong. So you're going to expedite it. They'll still have appeals, but they're going to be bunched together. In legal terminology, it just means, yeah, you're going to get your appeal, but you're not going to get hundreds of appeals that are frivolous.
Do you expect, if this goes through, you got to expect pushback, right? You got to expect lawsuits.
The SPLC and ACLU will always push back, and we knew that, but that's a given, and that's okay. That's their right. I just think they're wrong. I mean, we've got to do something to start cracking down on those who are trying to assassinate our police officers.
All right, so that Senate bill, do you have a, if people are following that, is there a number on that one they can watch?
We don't have a number. We just dropped it in, so okay. It will be probably in committee next week.
All right, we'll watch for that and share it when that comes up. All right, let's talk about Lotto. Let's talk about where we, I mean, y'all passed a Lotto bill out of the Senate last year, went to the House, and it was derailed. Now, Governor Ivey's called for a panel in the committee to study this. Outside of the compact with the Porch Bandit Creek Indians, what else needs to be studied, Senator Warner?
I just don't believe they need to study something else. I understand the idea of having a compact, studying the compact issue of the Indians, even studying the legal issues regarding the current tracks. I am not in favor of studying the lottery anymore. We've been studying this for 20-something years. Either you're for it or against it. The issue of the lottery has always been, where does the money go?
But
pro-lottery folks get in a fight with each other because
yes.
They want the money to go this way or that way. I want a lottery, but if it doesn't go X, Y, Z, I'm going to kill it.
That's y'all's problem, though.
You've got to get on the same page as where the revenue goes.
Right, but that's y'all's problem. I think here's my theory, Senator, that's y'all's problem in Montgomery. And I'm actually somebody that, you know, I guess I got a dog in the hunt. I would like to see that money go to the general fund. But yeah. I talk to enough people every day on, you know, the 5 hours of radio I do every day, and stop and talk people, grocery store or wherever. And I think you could make, the average people, they want to see the CA on the ballot. They honestly couldn't care less about
I disagree a little bit because I get a lot of calls back in my district and on my Facebook page. They go, Cam, if you don't vote for a lottery for education, we're against it. We want it to die if it's not for education. Or if we don't get it for this, or, you know, scholarship dead. So a lot of these legislators are hearing from their constituents is where that's coming from. And I'm with you. I think if you're going to do it, don't create a new government program. Don't create some new thing we got to fund down the road. Use this money on top of an existing issue, whether it be mental health, drug treatment, you know, something that could really help going forward without creating a whole new government program.
Well, I mean, with deference here to the schools in Alabama, ETF is looking pretty good right now. I mean, you know, the revenue
$500 million. It's a heavy growth.
You dropped out for a second. You said what?
No, I was just going to say that there's heavy growth in the education budget. You know, in Alabama, we're one of three or four states that has two budgets.
Correct. So the ETF is linked to all the growth revenue.
$7.5 billion in education and $1.8 billion for the rest of government. There's definitely a disparity there.
Once again, say that again, because I think too many people do not know the real numbers. Once again, what's the ETF?
You have close to $8 billion for education, and then $1.8 billion for the rest of state government.
So everything else outside of education is 1.8. ETF is almost $8 billion.
Yep.
Okay.
It's people really don't realize that. They think spending money on education, in fact, that's the biggest part of our budget.
I rest my case. speaking of which, let's talk a little bit about this. Of course, you're in session. Yeah, you're doing your job as a senator, but you're also running a campaign right now for the Alabama Supreme Court.
I am. I've been to 52 counties so far and making my way around the state. I think coming from the legislature is actually be a breath of fresh air for the court. You know, someone who makes the laws and understands that the legislature makes the laws and the court interprets the laws, but not the other way around. I think it's a breath of fresh air.
So you would be? Do you think you'd be presiding in the Alabama Supreme Court? You'd be hearing cases based on laws that you may have voted for or against?
It's possible, but for the most part, the key is it's seldom that you hear laws. Typically, you're hearing about how a case was handled in court,
and you're trying to make a decision on that. But I mean,
was the case properly handled in court? And so I think I think coming from the legislature, because you can look at it and say, well, you know, I don't need to look at the law. I need to look at what's written black and white and follow that and not make up something else on my own.
There you go. All right. Senator, if people want to get more information about your campaign, where do they go?
electcanmore.com, and of course I'm on Facebook and Twitter as well.
All right, have a good day and a good tomorrow in the Senate, and we'll be talking to you very soon.
Look forward to it, my friend.
All right, thank you. State Senator Cam Ward joining us here. Get a little update on the prison reform. We're coming right back. We are live at Robertsdale Power Equipment. It's their 27th annual open house. Come by and see us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. We're live at Robertsdale Power Equipment. Big thank you to Dwight and the whole crew for having us out. Love to come out here, check out the equipment. And you can do the same today until 5 and tomorrow until 5, from 8 to 5. But during the lunch hours, like tomorrow from 11 to 2, they'll be cooking up burgers and hot dogs once again, and great deals on, Skag, on steel, on Husqvarna, and a whole range of equipment and parts. If you're looking for parts, you're, this time of year, getting ready for a long spring and summer and fall of tendon yards, well, go ahead and get those filters and those parts you're going to need. Get them now and save that money. Robertsdale Power Equipment, north side of Robertsdale, right before the split, just south of the Catholic Church here. And you'll see the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit. We'll be here for a little bit longer, but you can get out here and get the deals today through 5 and tomorrow from 8 to 5. Hey, let's do this before we wrap it up, because I got another shot for you to win some tickets. Y'all know what show I'm talking about? It's Win Them Before You Can Buy Them tickets for Def Leppard and ZZ Top, their 2020 Vision Tour. And we'll take caller number 6 right now at 343-0106. 343-0106. Got your tickets. Win them before you can buy them. They go on sale Friday, Ticketmaster.com in the Wharf box office. You can win the pair right now, and we'll announce your name tomorrow morning. Or maybe put it online, fmtalk1065.com, facebook.com/fmtalk1065, or twitter.com. Find us at fmtalk1065. Y'all have a great one. See you mañana.